Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Demon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Well, in about an hour from now, we're going to get into our Tuesday trifecta. We're going to be talking about the winners and the lovable losers that have come through the Bay Area. That is going to be a little bit later on. We already had an awesome conversation with Peter King, where we spent the first 15 minutes on everything that went wrong and right for the 49ers. And then we pivoted to the rest of the football week. After we were done talking to Peter King, the 49ers went out and signed Mohamed Sanu. They got him off the beach. It cost them nothing but what he will command for his salary to bring in Mohamed Sanu, somebody who's familiar with the Kyle Shanahan playbook, and that is good. We will tell you what happened to the Giants up in Seattle, what didn't happen to the A's yesterday up in Seattle. They're on to Colorado, and the Giants are coming home to play the Mariners. We'll give you the details there. That's what's happening in our own backyard, and that is where we go for breaking backyard news. From Matt
I have Kolsky. To address this.
Yeah, so I was just told by Lucas that Matt has something to tell you about his backyard. And I said, oh, my gosh, is it serious? Is it okay? Because I thought I heard maybe your dog barking earlier or something like that.
No.
Backyard update, Matt Kolsky.
Well, I guess perhaps it was a dog barking. But so, okay, listen, I have a nice garden in my backyard, the pride of my backyard. And contained in that garden are a few sunflowers. Now, I've posted some photos of these sunflowers. They're huge. Aww. They're beautiful, huge sunflowers, right? And actually, they're not that beautiful anymore because after they get beautiful, they sort of wilt. But they were still three sunflowers. And I walked out, coming back from my trip to the bathroom, on my way back into my studio, I see one of the pots holding a sunflower is tipped over. And I said, oh, bummer. Somehow, the wind must have knocked it over or something. But as I got closer, I realized that it's not a sunflower anymore. Something has taken the top of the sunflower and either devoured it whole or carried it off. It's just a severed sunflower body with no sunflower head. And the head of this sunflower was an easy 8-inch diameter. Like, it had to be something big. So I'm wondering, is there some sort of super predator that is eating entire sunflower heads whole that I need to worry about? And can you guys help me with this?
I'm
a little
shook. It's your neighbor, Todd.
Todd is not a nice person, so I can understand that might be him.
I can't help you with that.
I'm telling you, this thing's huge. I don't know where it went. It's not anywhere in the backyard. So like it has been either eaten whole or carried over a fence.
I do know
it
this.
It could be a raccoon.
If you choose to stay in your own home tonight, you're taking your wife and your child's life into your hands. There is a
exactly
super predator biting the heads off of things in your backyard. How often, how much longer do you have to stick around to find out whether or not your head is next?
Seriously, in broad daylight, this happened. Broad daylight.
Wow.
Like that sunflower was intact this morning. I'm positive. I am a little nervous about sleeping here tonight.
A decapolicious mystery happening in your backyard.
Yeah.
It's gone.
To be serious about this for a second. Oh, no. Okay. The moment passed.
Given
the conditions outside, God only knows what wild creatures are roaming.
That's a good point. That is a good
point.
So
it could be Todd. I wouldn't rule that out. But I think it's also, you know, raccoons, possums, you know.
Man. All the nighttime animals are just prowling my, yeah, my garden during the day now, apparently. It's
a psychopathic.
Anyway,
toucan.
I had to get that off my chest. I'm sorry. What did you just say, Ray?
A psychopathic toucan.
Oh, okay.
Phew. Fruit Loops.
Consider all options.
I do have a backyard story of my own from this weekend, and it stinks because my dog got skunked in my own backyard.
Oh, the worst.
Right in the kisser, too. I mean, he got it right up his nostrils, and we have the all-hands-on-deck that my wife put forward to eliminate the house of any skunk odor. We have done an incredible job eliminating skunk odor from the house, but the dog... Dog's a little ripe still, 3-4 days later here, and he has been bathed in white vinegar and baking soda and all of the wives' tales and remedies to get, oh, man. I mean, skunk on a wet dog is a smell you really can't go about forgetting.
Okay, I'm going to ask a bourgeois question here.
Yes.
Do you have your dog groomed?
No, we are wash the dog with a hose kind of a family.
See, I would go to the professional at this point because the alternative is buying an awful lot of tomato sauce.
We were about to go like clear out the Italian section at our Safeway, but we actually were given, thanks to the power of the interwebs, the tip that white vinegar and baking soda together with dish soap is an even more potent combatant against the skunk spray than the good old-fashioned tomato. Because Ray was the first thing I told my wife. I'm like, I'm looking for tomato sauce. I'm going to go upstairs and look for tomato sauce. And she gets it on her phone and finds something else. So skunk in my backyard.
Does the dog still reek?
Kind of. He's like a C-plus on the does not stink scale. He was a full-on F the night that it happened. We'll get him back up to a B plus A. I mean, the dog's never stunk less than an A minus, so we're not looking for perfection. So I got a skunk in my backyard. Matt Kolsky has a sunflower killer, possibly jeopardizing the safety of his own family in his backyard. It's only a matter of time until a sinkhole opens up in Ray's house and just engulfs the entire program.
I'd take that right now. Can't breathe, can't go outside, you know, killer viruses running everywhere. I think getting swallowed up by the earth might not be a bad career move for me.
Like, all joking aside, right, the air quality in Seattle was so bad yesterday that every A's player came off the field talking about it. They were talking about it in between the doubleheaders. I saw that Jesus Luzardo's quote, when I came out, the air quality index was 284. I'm a healthy 22-year-old. I shouldn't be gasping for air or missing oxygen when I'm getting to the line. So I'll just leave it at that. It sounds like the A's were rubbed wrong by having to play two up in Seattle yesterday. The Giants, ironically, were the next team in Seattle to play the Mariners this afternoon. And that game, with a better air quality than what the A's played two in yesterday. Yesterday was 284. Today was around 260. The game was canceled. Not two games. One game was canceled. Now, I do not know. Maybe, Ray, if you've been looking this story up. Matt, if you've seen something about it, please step all over me and let me know. But I don't know what the protocol was. The person who waved the white flag to say, we ain't playing Giants Mariners today. Who was that person? And why wasn't that person Bob Melvin yesterday if there really are no standards that Major League Baseball is going to come say, okay, we're violating our standards, game called, like it's raining or something like that?
As near as I can parse out, and I'm not convinced I'm 100% right here, but as near as I can tell, Major League Baseball stepped in a day later after, you know, Jesus Luzardo basically said, I can't breathe, which is sort of in keeping with the way they react to everything, which is they wait until something awful happens, and then they go, well, we won't do that a second time. I do remember yesterday Alex Coffey said that Melvin said that we were told we had no choice, which means that either came from Major League Baseball or it came from the Mariners, who I guess who have control of the game. My guess would be that Major League Baseball, when asked about it, says, we don't have any protocol for it. Get your ass out there. So that would be very much in keeping with the way MLB has been doing this from the start. It's all sort of seat of the pants nonsense. But
Ray, look, I'm not picking a fight with you at all, but I'm sure that the Texas Rangers wanted to play the A's the day the A's said, we're going to follow the Milwaukee Bucks route and said, we're not going out there today. If the A's were willing to punt a game in the name of social unrest, should they have not been willing to punt a game in the name of we got to keep our guys healthy? I mean, isn't that Bob Melvin's job, part of it anyways, to say, okay, I'm the manager. The buck stops with me. I'm going to get in the way of my players in a dangerous situation, and I've got enough house credit, not only with the A's front office and ownership, but with all of Major League Baseball, that no one's going to tell me I'm out of line because I'm Bob frickin' Melvin.
Yeah, like, I'm a little disappointed. Here's the thing. On one hand, that's absolutely true. Baseball can say all they want, get out there. If the players don't want to play in that air quality and Bob Melvin says, sorry, we're not going out there, tough. There's not going to be a game because there's not going to be one of the teams.
That's what they just said in Texas.
Exactly. So there's part of me that agrees with you, Damon, but there's another part of me that just feels like this is another situation where a baseball manager is being asked to take on science and the world and his players and all this stuff that the sport ought to handle before it ever gets to his desk. So while part of it is, yeah, like I kind of wish Bob Melvin had taken that stand, the fact that baseball as a sport, as a, you know, organization overall, leaves it to Bob Melvin is embarrassing.
Right. It shouldn't
and
be
it's
his
really
choice.
On them. Exactly.
Yeah. The other thing is when the A's basically said, we're not playing, they weren't the first baseball team to do that. And the only people who objected to it was the Rangers, because they wanted to play because they don't care. But it wasn't the A's, you know, saying, we're doing this on our own. You know, they already had other teams who were doing it, and it was in a different situation in which this was about sort of a national social justice issue. This was one of those things where I think they felt like we need guidance from somebody, because I don't think we can just declare we're not playing today on our own without some sort of ramification. We need guidance. And like Matt said, Major League Baseball was not there for them. And it's to Major League Baseball's discredit. They couldn't figure out that oxygen is good. Because that's all this was. This was about, can you breathe? What I would say is this, though. I think if the players had gone to Melvin and said, this is awful out here, I think Melvin could have gone to the umpires, and maybe he did. See, there's a lot of things that we don't know about this yet, or at least I haven't been able to find them out. Before the game, I think the home team has jurisdiction. Once the game starts, the umpires do. And it sounds like in both cases, the Mariners said, well, we're good to go. And then once the game started, either the umpires weren't asked or they said, well, we're getting this in because we don't care. I mean, our job is to play these games. And I suspect that at the end, Bob Melvin doesn't have enough throw weight to say, we're not playing today because it's unsafe.
Yeah, that's why, again, I go back to none of this stuff is mysterious. There are fires raging up and down the entire West Coast, and obviously Major League Baseball's offices are monitoring those situations. It's got to be on them. They can't let their athletes go out there in air quality that, you know, the air app we've all downloaded this year tells us is hazardous to even step out the front door of your house. It's wildly irresponsible, is what it is.
It just it for it for like here's the deal. How are you worried about pitch counts, but not this? Like, isn't that all the damn sport is about, protecting your investments over and over again? David Force should have made this call. Billy Beane should have made this call. John Fisher doesn't care enough about any aspect of his team to make a call to anybody, but mommy and daddy, how's the money doing? So, I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, great leaders, and I'm not saying Bob Melvin isn't a great leader. Bob Melvin's awesome. I love Bob Melvin. Like, I hate to do a segment where I'm telling you what I don't like about Bob Melvin, because I love Bob Melvin. Great leaders do not seek permission to lead, ever. They don't. They just do it. They got a call, they make it. They should have made that call yesterday. Somebody should have said, I'm sure enough that my bosses are incompetent enough to screw this up. I'm boots on the ground, and we're marching back to the clubhouse. We'll make this up somehow, some way. Pretend it's raining, Major League Baseball. That happens all the time. Meanwhile, the Giants now have the Mariners at 24 Willie Mays Plaza starting tomorrow for two games. They're going to play the Mariners tomorrow. Then they're going to be playing the Mariners on Thursday. Instead of just taking a doubleheader and taking an off day, which was a scheduled off day Thursday, the Mariners are going to come play two games at 24 Willie Mays Plaza. And then the Giants have 13 games remaining in 12 days without an off day between now and the end of the year. So
wait, hold on. Are the Mariners going to have last at bat?
Yes, they're going to be a home team for both games.
Interesting. That'll be weird, huh? Watching a game. Oh, that's at been, well, Oracle but that's Park? Been
that has actually been happening a lot this year. Like, a lot of these doubleheaders are basically where one team's a home team for one game, mm-hmm. and then they're the visitor for the other one, even though they're both played in the same place.
I think that just happened with the A's Astros because of the games that got canceled due to the COVID down at Don't Call It Enron Field.
Definitely Don't Call It Enron Field. Boy, isn't that a quaint controversy for 2020? Think back on the halcyon days of Enron.
Oh. The salad days.
Seriously.
NBA playoffs.
This story looks like a job for our pal Jeff Passan, but I'm not seeing him weighing in on it.
Totally.
You know, this sounds like there were three levels here. Major League Baseball should have just imposed its will. The Mariners, who had jurisdiction over the game, should have said, you know what, this is insane. And then once the game started, the crew chief, Bill Miller, should have banged it. I don't know that the A's had a whole lot of say. So I'm not going to blame this on Bob Melvin, because the visiting team has basically no call.
Yeah,
so
I mean, the bottom line
I think Major League Baseball failed. The Mariners failed. I think to a certain extent, the players for both teams could have said, do you want to play in this? And they said, go ahead, punish us. We dare you. Because that's where the real strength here lies. And we saw that in the NBA, and we saw it to a lesser extent in the NHL. When after they waited a day, a lot of players said, what are we doing? You know, we're not going out on the ice today. And they shut it down for 2 days. So I think there are a lot of people to line up for this. But the obvious first place to start are the people who are supposed to be presenting you the sport.
I agree with you.
I was just going to say, fundamentally, that can't happen, what happened yesterday. Whoever it's on, and I think we all agree that baseball's main office bears the brunt of the responsibility, but whoever it's on, you can't have a game where we can see on TV how smoky it is. I mean, it was a disaster. Two games.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was two. Double the fun. Double the exposure. Look, I think you're right, Ray, when you talk about Major League Baseball, home team, umpiring crew. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. That should have been the procedure, the protocol, the clearances. But I just saw the A's as an opposing team say, we ain't playing in the name of the shooting in Kenosha. I mean, I just saw it. That just happened. what's his name?
Yeah.
The Rangers.
Jacob Blake.
No, not Jacob Blake. I'm saying Chadwick Trump. Who's the Mariners? Or not the Mariners, but whoever the manager of the Texas Rangers is. He wanted to play. They wanted to
Chris
go out
Woodward.
And play. Yeah, thank you very much, Chris Woodward. They wanted to go out and play. Chris Woodward, even I saw the Rangers distance themselves from the decision of we're not playing tonight. Like, Oakland decided we're not doing this, so we're not doing this. We would like to, but, you know, their social consciousness got in their way today, and there you go. So, I mean,
I don't want to exonerate the A's here because they could have just said, we're not, this makes no sense. But that's something that you do in concert with the home team, where you just go, it's 284 out there. It's extremely hazardous by the most benign of meters, which is the EPA one. You know, what are we doing? I mean, it just, you know, to me, there's just so many. I mean, yeah, I think the players should have walked. Frankly,
yeah.
They're the ones who have the most power in this. Because at that point, Rob Manfred then has to say, I'm sorry, baseball is not meant to be played in oxygen.
I mean, here's the thing. The players just say, hey, we did it. Talk to the union. Good luck. I mean, seriously, I mean, you've got the biggest, strongest union in the history of unionization to hide behind. Anytime you want to duck and cover, just jump behind them and all their lawyers and you're fine. I'm surprised and I'm a little bit disappointed, like I said, in Bob Melvin and the A's for not being a bit more forward thinking when they were certainly forward thinking down in Texas for, you know, reasons which had nothing to do with their health. That was symbolic. This was an actual reason to not play due to health concerns. And they went out and they played. And, you know, there's another element of all this that kind of pisses me off, too. You know what I wouldn't want to ever do if I were a team? Let down the crowd, whether it be my crowd or your crowd. I would not want to turn away 24,000 paying customers because if you're willing to sit out here today, we'll be willing to play out here for you today. But there's not even that. It's not even like, oh, all these kids are going to be going home. It was their one chance to see Matt Olson, but now it's gone forever. Like, there's none of that. It's not a single paying customer in the damn league. So it's just another element of, come on, you could have done better right there.
I'll just break in here. You raise a really interesting point because if that those gates were open and people were in there, I think they would have said we're playing before 500 people because nobody's coming here. Why don't we cancel? Why don't we blow this game up? And they would have had cover.
That's
the Mariners' call. But you know, the last time you saw a crowd that small, it was during the riots in Baltimore a number of years ago where they just said, the mayor said, we're not, nobody gathers anywhere by order of the police. And they played the game in front of an empty building. This, on the other hand, is about breathing and like lungs and things. Everybody failed here. And so it sort of doesn't matter what order you pick. But I know one thing. Every time a decision has had to be made in American sport since the trouble started in March, the only league who has been proactive on the side of the players has been the NBA. Second place, the NHL. Everybody else has gotten a largely failing grade.
I tell you what, Ray, you said NHL, so we're going to come back, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds on hockey. I'm going to do that for you today when we come on back. I know you want it, so we're going to have that for you.
I'll take more than 30 seconds.
45, tops. We're going to come on back with that.
Watch me filibuster your ass.
Josina Anderson has the latest on Mohamed Sanu, who is coming to San Francisco. The 49ers signed the on-the-beach wide receiver, Mohamed Sanu, today. And Kyle Shanahan is excited about that. We'll tell you what Mohamed Sanu told Jacina Anderson. We're going to ask you to get in line for a little Tuesday trifecta coming up in just a moment. And Peter King later on today as well. 888-957-9570 is the number. You want to get in line for the trifecta sight unseen. Be bold. Be daring. You can do that. And we're going to get to it in our 5 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises.
Hey, no. Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Big news in the Bay Area today is that the 49ers have signed wide receiver Mohamed Sanu to come on in and help with depth problems. Josina Anderson on Instagram just relayed this, that she just got home and was on the phone with wide receiver Mohamed Sanu on joining the San Francisco 49ers, and Sanu told her, quote, "Joe, it happened so quick. I'm on the plane now. Got to have the rest of my clothes sent. Kyle said it would be awesome to have me, so I feel welcomed. Funny, you and I were just talking about this yesterday." Everyone that watched the 49ers play over the Sunday knows that they needed some help at wide receiver. No doubt about it. Oh, my God. I have just seen the decapitation of your sunflower in what I can only describe as not safe for work pictures. I mean, this is graphic. So
it is.
Good luck to your decapitated sunflower in your backyard. Good luck to Mohamed Sanu. Good luck.
Can I just say, Josina Anderson dropping the really awesome humble brag by quoting Mohamed Sanu as saying, "We were just talking about this"?
Oh, yeah. She's dialed. She's dialed in.
So locked in. She's talking to receivers about the signings that they're about to make before they make them. Boom.
Hey, it's a conversation that we were having today before Sanu became a reality. We were talking about the possible trade bait of Allen Robinson and Odell Beckham, and don't even have to worry about any of that. At least if Mohamed Sanu works out, you're not going to have to worry about any of that. Who knows if he works out or not? He is familiar with the offense and the coach and the route tree. And, I mean, it's the New York Jets, so how tough could it be, right? I'm just kidding.
Uh-oh. Peter King's going to get your ass.
I know. You're right about that. NBA playoffs right now. Eastern Conference Finals. Game one is tied at 55 in the first half, and that's exactly what we're looking for in terms of maybe giving us give me an overtime of game one. I can catch that when we get off the air today at 6 o'clock-ish. Game seven between the Clippers and Nuggets. The winner gets the Lakers, who have been resting since Saturday when they knocked out the Rockets. Lakers are back in the Western Conference Finals for the first time in a decade, and if the Los Angeles Clippers aren't there meeting them, oh my God, what another massively disappointing year for a Doc Rivers Los Angeles Clippers team. I mean, Lob City didn't work out. You reconstructed the whole thing in the name of this. If this doesn't at least get you to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in franchise history, they will say you are cursed. And if you are a Clipper fan, you probably would not disagree. I think more than anything else, and we were talking about this with Kevin Arnovitz earlier in the day, gentlemen, is that tonight's game is like a full-on relitigation of Paul George's reputation in this league. If he is going to maintain that legit second-tier status with all-pro tendencies, he needs to show up tonight, or he gets relegated to that third tier, and he's going to be struggling to make all-star games in the future. Like, that's how much of his reputation, I think, is on the line tonight. Doc Rivers? Yeah. There have been more seasons that have ended in unaccomplished disappointment than have been in NBA glory, and this would be another one of those.
But other than the championship that he won in Boston, he's never, I mean, this will be, I mean, this is the one team that he's had that's had actual ought to get their expectations. All the other ones were, well, they're interesting, they're kind of good, but I don't know that they've ever been considered the favorite in a conference. This was the year that happened. And so, yeah, there will be people who will make conclusions based on this. But I don't know that calling it a curse is actually right, because in most cases, he eventually ran into, he or was going to run into a team that was better than his. This is the one that I think he's going to have to explain in more than sort of cursory tones. You're right.
Well, and also, if we look back at those, yeah, he was going to run into a team that was better than his, but he didn't always get there before he lost. I mean, those Clippers teams may not have been favored to win the title, but they were certainly favored to win some of the series that they failed to win. So I do think this is something that, and even if that wasn't true, I think the reputation is established to the point where it would follow him anyway. This is a big game tonight for Doc Rivers, just in terms of not having the NBA community think this is something that regularly happens to his teams. And, you know, I thought the point that Kevin Arnovitz made when we brought up the Paul George thing that was, you know, I thought was most salient is it's not just that you thought you were the favorites and it's not going great. It's not just that Paul George has struggled at times in the playoffs. It's how much you gave up to get him. What you gave up to get him said, we're making ourselves the championship favorite. And if you don't pay that off, it's a failure.
No doubt. And here's another thing, too. The, oh, boy, you got to go to Orlando. You're not going to have a real home court advantage. You got to be in a bubble. The Los Angeles Clippers are the one team on the planet that that actually pays off for. They would have, I don't care what the court says at Staples Center, where their name appears on the scoreboard. The Clippers were going to be looking at seven, if it went seven, road games against the Los Angeles Lakers, should they be the team to meet the Lakers in the NBA or the Western Conference Finals. That is seven home games for the Lakers. The Clippers don't even have to deal with that. There has never been a more set up for you to finally get it done season.
Even this series
this right
Damon.
Now, and it feels like, yeah, I mean, look. It
they don't
like,
have to go to Denver.
Yeah. You're so right. That's one of the biggest headaches in travel in sports, going to Denver. And they don't have to worry about that, but they do have to worry about Jokic tonight, and that means Zubats has to have a big game. It's a sneaky big game for him. And it's a Game 7, baby. Give it to me. I'll give it to me. I love a Game 7. It's happening tonight in the NBA right when we get off the air. Yesterday, Ray. All right, here's how we're going to sell this to the Bay Area.
Well, before you start doing that,
all right,
I did a little more digging, and apparently what happened yesterday in Seattle is that baseball, A, doesn't have any protocols for this, that they would have to have invented them, and of course they never invent anything. Everybody was looking at the local officials in Seattle to do something, and the local officials in Seattle have way more to worry about than whether a baseball game or two is going to be played. So everybody waited for the government to say, what do we do about this? And the government was doing governing because they've got fires and they've got air quality concerns across the city, across the state, in fact. So basically, everybody waited for somebody who has better things to do than this to make a call on this. And that's
which
where that's how we got to the situation. Of course it is.
No, but I mean especially insane because I guarantee you the government issued some sort of air quality warning suggesting that the citizens of Seattle not go outside. So
yeah.
If that I think you could have surmised the government's position on this, fellas.
Oh no, yeah, oh no, they didn't want to not play. That's
exactly.
That's the dirty secret here. They wanted somebody to cancel the game and then let them take the heat for it. When in fact they had all the excuse they needed, and none of them chose to avail themselves of it. In an unrelated development that I just saw, Arkansas State just announced that Saturday's game against Central Arkansas has been postponed because of the inability to find a safe number of players among the depleted position group, meaning that one school's too sick to play.
Good times. You see that Ed Orgeron at LSU basically said, my entire team's basically had it. And if you've said you've had COVID-19, you don't have to test yourself for 90 days. So who knows? I mean, like,
oh, boy.
The Big Ten, by the way, about to reverse its course. At best, it's bowing to pressure. At worst, it's cowardly. I mean, I don't know what more to say.
And no, at best, it's cowardly.
Yeah. At worst, it's cowardly.
Yeah. At worst, it's criminal. Because if players get sick and some of them get heart damage because of this, they have actively done damage to people in their care.
Yeah.
I'm clearly not rooting for this, but I think the Big Ten can announce whatever they want tonight, and I don't think they're going to play it down. Because I think by the time they would start, there's going to be so many Arkansas State stories like you just brought up, Ray, that it's not going to make any sense to try to play.
I don't think you can shame these people. They smell the money too much.
Maybe.
I mean,
you might be right.
Why would you even revisit this? Because the science hasn't changed. They're revisiting this because they want to cash in. They're seeing the SEC is, you know, they're delaying another week, and then they're going. And the Big Ten presidents who voted 11-3 not to do this, based on science that the Pac-12 gave them, all of a sudden they're going, yeah, but there's money to be made. And they are bailing out because of that. If they vote to play, that's what this is. It's, we frankly prioritized money over our students. Sorry.
And look, I don't mean to make it this terse, but I will. In any experiment, you need a placebo, right, to find out whether – okay, so we gave the pill that works to these people. We gave the pill that didn't work to these people. Let's figure it out. I really wanted a conference to be the we didn't play test subject against the other conferences. And if the Big Ten isn't that, we all know the Pac-12 won't be that, because the Pac-12 will do whatever the Big Ten tells it to. At least that's what we know about Larry Scott to this point. So,
and even if they did, what would that really be a good control group? Like, the Pac-12 is not, I mean, it's the fifth, right?
Well, but it's still,
it might
but
be it's, nominally.
It's healthy football rosters. The quality of football is not the point here. It's the,
right,
how are these kids 20 years down the road as opposed to the kids that played? You know, if that's what's going to happen, yeah. It would have been interesting to have the control group.
And they're the ones who fueled the we can't play with the scientific study that showed why you can't play. So if
they
bail out.
Do you think to that, Ray?
Pardon me?
Do you think they'll hold to that?
I don't know, because I don't know the presidents well enough, and football is not the core of their world in a lot of places. They might hold to that, but if they don't, the 12 of them ought to be fired summarily and be held legally and financially responsible for anybody who wants to sue.
All right. In our last minute of this hour, before we get into our 5 o'clock hour, nobody cares around here that the Dallas Stars are in the Stanley Cup Finals, but what you might care about is that the Golden Knights are not. They are not going to skate for Lord Stanley's Cup. They were eliminated last night, 3-2 by Dallas in Game 5. The Lightning are up 3-1 on the Islanders. They're looking to hold off elimination tonight. Ray, please, 30 seconds and no more on what happened and where we stand, and then I have one more question for you.
Dallas finished off Vegas, as you said, which means people who have a rooting interest in Joe Pavelski can pay attention to the final. That's not your call. It's not my call. That's for members in the audience to deal with. But if Tampa wins tonight, it will be one of the most disappointing conference finals series, or two of the most disappointing conference finals series. Because they both ended in 5. There was almost no overtime. And remarkably, very little drama. The best player in either series was Dallas goaltender Anton Khudobin. And when a goaltender is your best player, unless he's making 55 saves a game, you've got kind of dry hockey.
Yeah, unless he's standing on your head, which I don't know if that was exactly happening. I will say this. One last point on all this. Unsexy teams can give you a great hockey game. Like Ray just said, anything that goes to overtime in the Stanley Cup Finals is by definition a great sporting event. However, a Stanley Cup Finals between the Dallas Stars and the Tampa Bay Lightning, it would almost be impossible to invent a Stanley Cup Final that America could care less about. I mean, it really would be.
Well,
imagine if you told a hockey fan in 1972, listen, in 2020, we're going to be playing the Stanley Cup Finals in September between Dallas and Tampa Bay.
They would have told you there is no team in Dallas nor Tampa Bay. What are you talking about? Texas and
Florida?
No, hockey, you're crazy.
I will tell you what the most unbelievable thing about that is that the championship, the Stanley Cup Final, is being played in Toronto.
And anybody who knows hockey knows that the Leafs never get a sniff of that.
Yeah.
That's the cup has cometh back to Canada. No one gets to keep it, but at least the Canadians get to see it. Well, I don't mean actually get to see it because nobody's allowed into the damn bubble. It's a weird world. Welcome to your 5 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
The big news today is that Mohamed Sanu has signed with the 49ers. We're going to get into that story here and give you the details in just a moment. Let me set up today's Tuesday trifecta because our lines are open right now. 888-957-9570 is the number. Our topic today, winners and losers. Question number one, and we kind of asked this to Peter King earlier. When you hear losers, what team do you think of first in sports? When you hear the word losers, what team do you think of first? Question number two, who is your favorite Bay Area lovable loser? There's been a lot around here, whole teams even. Who is your favorite Bay Area lovable loser, team or athlete? Go in any direction you want. Question number three, we've said enough about losers. I want the ultimate winner draft. The ultimate winner draft. So when a name goes off the board, we will not hear from that name again. Set them up right now for me, Lucas. 888-957-9570. And today, as just a little bonus, caller number six is going to win a four-pack of sandwiches to my buddy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.